Kendallstaw has had decades when it basked in the glory of reflected wisdom, and other times that it's virtually ignored and nearly fell out of the SPSS inclusion. The Kendallstaw is also applied when you have two quantitative variables. You want to know if there's an association, but you distrust either the normal distribution or the interval level of measurement properties. Kendallstaw talks about rank order concordance. It asks, literally, what's the proportion of scores that have rank order concordance and the number that don't? And again, people who like rank orders like the notion of concordance. Many people, let's see, in this generation not so much, but in the 60s and the early 70s, there were lots and lots of people who preferred the notion of order concordance to the notion of order relationship. Some people just have never liked that Spearman's looks at the linear relationship between the ranks of the two variables. That linear part sounds like we're slipping back into parametric statistics, where notions of rank order concordance are clearly rank order information. Now, all three correlations have the same mathematical range, and it's possible to create a set of data where you'll get exactly the same value for Pearson's, Spearman's, and Kendall's. So it's important to recognize that the way what they do and the way you express the number is different for the three. Pearson's correlation is about the direction and extent of the linear relationship. Extent is the size, direction is obviously the sign. Spearman's correlation is the direction and extent of the rank order relationship between the variables, or the linear relationship between their ranks. Mathematically equivalent, but you don't see it as often. Kendallstaw examines the direction and proportion of concordant and discordant pairs. So let's show you what all that means. Here's Kendallstaw. And this is one of these formulas. Oh, this looks nice. All I need is a C and a D. Wait a minute. Where does C and D come from? And is this going to suck? Not badly. Not with a few cases. So we've got our same practices in number correct that we had. Just some numbers. Happy little numbers. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to convert them to ranks. And notice I'm also going to stick in which one's X and which one's Y for reference within the formulas, just to make sure that we're paying attention here. So we build our rank orders. Then, in order to facilitate the counting process, we reorder the cases so that the cases are in rank order on X and Y goes wherever X goes. So subject 2 still has the lowest X score, and the fourth lowest Y score. There are other formulas for Taw that are used when we have tied ranks. That's where Taw A, B, and C. What I'm showing you is A. B is by far the most common. C, I can't tell you why people who like C. Sorry. I can't really figure out where it's an advantage. It may be an advantage with multivariate concordance values, but I don't get that one. I think somebody needed a dissertation topic. All right, so here's just a repeat of that. For each case, C is the number of cases listed below it that have a larger rank. Okay, concordance. Remember, they're lined up in order on X. So the concordance for a case is the number of times that cases below it in the list have a higher rank. Person 1 is rank 4 for Y, so there's only one larger, which is 5. Person 1 has 2, 5, and 3, all of which are higher rank than it. Case 5, the third one in order, has 5 and 3 that are larger than it. And so these are our concordance values and their sum. How are we doing? It's the number of cases below that case in the list with higher rank order values. One of the books I was reading said the number of cases below the case with ranks above it. So we're using above and below to mean both geography and value, which is kind of the way we use up and down in Pittsburgh. The problem with using up and down in Pittsburgh is that Western Pennsylvanians in general refer to up as north and down as south. Unless, of course, this time they mean uphill and downhill. So you'll be going up and down when you're going uphill and south. And you're never entirely sure which one they mean. It gets a little more fun because until the middle 70s, many streets in Pittsburgh did not have street signs. They were considered unnecessary. Instructions were given based on, you know, go up to the grocery store and turn left. Start walking down the street. When you get past the bar, it'll be on your right. Okay? But then places get torn down, and you'll hear instructions like, go up to where the grocery store used to be and turn left. Now, how the hell is somebody supposed to... Pittsburgh is also one of the few places in the world where the expression, you can't get there from here, nearly makes sense. Once you're here, there's no direct path to there. You have to go here first. And that's because it starts on a triangle because of the rivers. Okay, and then it gets complicated because of the hills. We used to have 71 bridges, some of which were named, on named streets, some of which, down there past Grant Street Bridge. How many? Three bridges down. Down. Hill or south or on the road I'm already on. Let's go. I changed the language a little bit so that we're talking about listed below as geography, larger rank for values. We also need to calculate D, which is discordance, the number of cases listed below it that have a smaller rank. So this 4 only has one number larger than it, but it has three numbers smaller than it below it. Nothing smaller than 1, nothing smaller than 2 below it, because the 1's above it. And only one larger. So we end up with a concordance sum of 4, that's our friend C, concordance sum of 6, that's our friend C, a discordance sum of 4, that's our friend D. We plug them in and we get our taw. For small samples, taw is compared to a taw critical. For larger samples, taw is transformed into Z for significance testing. Okay. Yeah.
If R and tau have the same range of values.